Hello and welcome to the next in our series of podcasts for Equine Health Week 2025 in partnership with Agria, covering all the key life stages that our horses will go through. We've now got to the point where our horses have reached adulthood and are in regular ridden work, which is the period of life, let's face it, they're going to be spending the longest in. Today, we are going to focus on the husbandry side of things, what we might consider the other 23 hours of the day when our horses are not in work, and look at how we can give them the best care possible so that they're able to perform at their best while they're actually working. To talk to me about this is one of the best in the business. She is Steph Sharples, the yard manager at Hughes Dressage, where she's been since 2003. As well as overseeing the day-to-day care of Gareth's string of horses, she's groomed for him at numerous senior championships. Welcome, Steph.
Hi, thanks for having me.
We are delighted to have you. So let's dive right in. What does a typical day look like for the horses on the yard?
So typical day for us here at Hughes Dressage with the horses. We start at 7 a.m. So they get fed, hayed, and we muck out. And then Gareth normally has his first horse tacked up ready, and one of the girls is on board walking round. And start to warm up the horse for him at 8:30. And Gareth will then continue to carry on riding his horses. We like to try and get as much of the riding done as we can in the morning, so that then the horses get to have a little bit of chill time in the middle of the day, and then they get to go out in the field or the sand pens for a little play and muck around in the afternoons.
And obviously you've got a whole yard of horses there to manage. They've all got different needs, individual needs. How do you kind of balance all of that, trying to keep them in that routine, but making sure they're getting what they need?
We do like to try and keep quite a strict routine here. We think the horses thrive off a routine. So where possible, the horses will always get ridden at the same time, in the same order. They'll go out into the field or the sand pens at the same time. Again, they just get used to knowing when is their snoozy time in the stable and when is their playtime. So we have some horses that like to have longer out in the paddocks and some that actually like a shorter time. So it's adapting everything to each individual horse. And if they need and want longer out, they have it. And actually, if they want to come in and come back to the stables and have a sleep, then you know, we accommodate what they want.
Talking about that, those individual needs, you must need to know them quite well. What are sort of your top tips for getting to know the horses, getting to know their personalities?
So I think you've just got to spend time with them to get to know them and find out what, you know, they do and they don't like. And you only really get to find that out by spending the time with them, watching them. If they seem unhappy at one point of out in the paddock at a certain time, then the next day we'd try them turned out at a different part of the day, just to see if that is what makes them happy. When we're away at competitions, I just spend a lot of time actually just sat outside the stable, sat with them, not necessarily always doing anything with them. Sometimes, you know, that they like to feel that someone's there, but not always necessarily in their space and sort of playing around with them. And then you've got others that actually like to have that constant human interaction of grooming and scratches and going out for hand walks and things like that.
I suppose as well, like in a competition environment, it's a bit of a strange place. Having you with them like that is a bit of a comfort blanket in a way.
Yes, I think it is. And, you know, again, there's always different noises and trying to keep sort of the quiet times in the stables when it's not just yourselves in there. You've got other competitors, other horses, you know, people coming in and out. It does get quite difficult to sort of have that time to sort of settle them and make them comfortable. So if you've got one that's a little bit more nervy and apprehensive of different situations, I found that actually just by being there and sitting with them does give them that reassurance that they're not on their own and they've got someone that they know is with them.
And do you try, when you are at the competitions, try and keep that routine similar to what it is at home? I mean, obviously you're slightly at the mercy of competition schedules and when there's a, you know, a slot for them to be ridden in, but do you try and keep it as similar as you can?
Yeah, I think that the horses, they thrive off a routine. Like you say, it's sometimes very difficult when it comes to competing, and sometimes arena familiarisation times can be, you know, either really early or really late at night. But the main things of if every time that they would normally go for a walk, we would try and keep that the same. Feed times, again, you know, they thrive off a routine. So where possible, we'll keep feeding at the same time. So they're sticking with that routine.
And when a new horse arrives on the yard, obviously you've got to try and get them into that routine. How do you help them settle into that, sort of relax in this new environment that they're in? Obviously, we've talked a little bit about the shows and sitting with them. But when you're at home and you've got a whole other yard of horses to keep an eye on, how do you help them kind of settle in and feel at home?
Yeah, so obviously it's a little bit tricky with a new horse because you don't know their characters, you don't know what they would normally like or dislike. So certainly trying to find a stable that they're happy and feel comfortable in, so that when they are inside, they are relaxing. And if it generally tends to get a little bit upset or anxious, we would then turn out or hand walk, or, you know, and it's just trying to find. Some horses are early risers, and actually some like a lion. So it's, you know, it's trying to find their particular quirks.
Yeah, and then fitting them in, everything around that. So obviously you're going to have a lot of practitioners visiting the yard, that, you know, farriers and body workers and vets and all this sort of thing. How do you ensure that you've got a kind of a holistic approach to the horses to help them stay in the possible shape, make sure that all of those different elements all kind of work together in harmony with each other?
So we're actually very lucky. So our team of farriers, physios, chiropractors, vets, they're all amazing. They love to communicate with each other. So if anyone in particular has a certain concern, then they'll discuss between themselves, which I think is great because it's a whole team effort. We find that, you know, some horses actually prefer to have more chiropractic treatment, some will prefer more physio. So again, it's finding out what each individual horse likes and what they thrive off and what is more beneficial from them, which is feedback from Gareth or Rebecca, Ruby, the riders, with how they feel after they've been treated, and also how each practitioner feels. You know, some might feel, actually, I'm not sure I'm really getting this part, so let's someone else have a go. So yeah, it's a great team effort. And again, I think it's some prefer to have more treatment close to a competition. Some actually respond better to have it a few days before. So it's all very individual and finding out what each horse particularly wants or needs.
And again, it's coming back to that relationship that you and Gareth, the riders, have with them, that you know these things and you can communicate with the practitioners can communicate back, and that importance of an open communication. It's something that's come up actually in several of the episodes that we are recording this week, the importance of having a really good team around you who can help you and support you and talk to you about what's going on with your horse and vice versa, and making sure that, you know, you've got your village, as it were. They say it takes a village to raise a child, it takes a village to raise a horse as well and get them at their best. So all this hard work that you're doing on the ground, how do you feel that's impacting the training, what the horses are able to give in the arena when they're being ridden by Gareth, Rebecca, Ruby? Are you seeing the impact of that?
Yeah, so I think it's very important that us as grooms that look after them on the ground and take all the care and attention to them, it's very important that we can spot anything. The horses can't obviously speak to us, they can't tell us. So if they're particularly feeling a bit tired or a little bit under the weather, or if they're feeling a bit sore anywhere, we are the ones that have to notice that and be able to jump on straight away. And I think by doing this, it keeps them fit and healthy, and it will come back to competition life of keeping them, the longevity of them. That's the aim for us, is that we have happy, healthy and fit horses for their career.
And I guess it's the mental side of things as well, having them in a good mental frame of mind if they're feeling good about themselves.
Yes, absolutely. You know, the horses have got to be happy and they've got to want to do the job. So by having everything else in place to keep them happy and healthy is giving them that chance to go and do the job for the riders and be happy and enjoy doing it.
You talked at the beginning about the fact that all the horses are getting, they're getting turnout, whether that's in the field, in the sand pens. How important do you think that bit of it is to them? Because obviously when people think about elite athletes, elite horses, a lot of the time they assume that they're kind of stuck in a stable all the time. Why is that something that you guys feel is so important for them?
They are still horses, so they still have to go and be a horse. And, you know, no one wants to be surrounded by humans all the time. So it's just good for them to be able to go out, to have, you know, a trot and a canter around the paddocks, have a roll and be a horse. You know, it's sometimes you can cringe a little bit in the winter when they come in caked in mud. But, you know, actually, it's quite nice to see them that, you know, they are still a horse. So it's very good for their brain mentally, but also for their bodies, you know, to keep them out moving and actually just to be a horse. And we find with our horses that they only ever go into the arena four times a week. So they're only ever schooled four times. They will also do lunging, hacking, pole work. So we try and give them a big variety so that it's not just all about going and doing dressage. You know, we actually have some horses that do jump. Okay, they're a little. You know, it's going out and giving their mind something else to think about where it actually becomes fun.
Because I guess that's a bit like us, actually, isn't it? You know, we have jobs, we go out and do those, but we're not doing them all the time. We get to have breaks in between. So, yeah, I guess it's the same for the horses in a way.
Yes, definitely. And it is quite nice sometimes. You can see them going over the poles and having a little jump and, you know, they get all excited and they're having a little bit of a buck and a bit of a squeal. You know, it is really nice to see them enjoying it.
Definitely. And kind of as we kind of come to the end of what's been quite an interesting, insightful talk here, what are some of your management top tips then for people who are listening?
I think the one of my best things would be to say you've got to get to know your horse. Each horse is very different. Get to know what they like, what they don't like, and get to know their personalities so that you can spot things before it actually turns into anything.
Fab. Thank you very much, Steph. This is, like I say, this has been a really interesting little chat. It's nice to get an insight into how the elite side of things works. Obviously not all of us are riding our horses at Grand Prix or the higher level, but the stuff we've talked about actually is applicable at all levels and across all disciplines. So yeah, it's really nice, and hopefully people listening have picked up some really good tips there. So thank you so much for giving up some time to speak to us today.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thanks for having me.
We've loved having you. If you have enjoyed this episode of the podcast, make sure you check out all the other ones we've put out for Equine Health Week. You can find those wherever it is you found this episode, whichever podcast platform you choose. You can also find everything we have discussed this week, all the podcast episodes, all the stuff we've been putting out on social media, on the Equine Health Week 2025 hub on our website, which is britishequestrian.org.uk. We hope you will join us for some more really interesting episodes for the rest of this week. Thank you for listening, and we will see you soon.